So I want to share a story, a true story, happened over 30 years ago. We had some friends who had a foster child, took in a little foster guy. He was a preschooler, and they had a couple of children of their own. And one day, the little foster boy was, and the children were out playing, and the two biological children came into the house and told their mom that Sean, that was the little foster boy, that Sean had sworn. He actually swore at us, Mom. Well, that wasn't acceptable behavior, so the parents called Sean in and asked Sean what was going on. And when Sean was confronted with swearing to his to the other children, he didn't deny it like you would think he would. You know, that's a typical preschooler reaction. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. He said, well, really, the devil made me do it. They thought that was kind of an interesting comment. And so they talked to him a little more. And he said, well, do you know, I was just there walking. And the kids were coming towards me. And I was walking towards them. And the devil jumped out from behind the bush. And he said, kid, you swear. True story. True story. It's humorous. But I think the truth is that if we think back in our minds, we've all blamed the devil, we've blamed Satan for causing us to sin. Somehow it's his fault we've sinned, and we blame him for it. The devil made us do it. Actually, Flip Wilson was a TV character, and as Kath was reading through my message, she said, yeah, Flip Wilson used to say that. He was coined as saying that. The devil made me do it. I had a new Christian once tell me in my first church I was pastoring, the new Christian told me after they'd been coming for a bit that it wasn't their fault that they sinned anymore. And she was quick to share with me that she'd been reading in Romans, and she read this in Romans 7:17. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. So she said, it's not my fault that I sin anymore. It's the sin that's in me that does it. So it, you know, basically, is that true? Is it, does Satan have the power to make us sin? Let's look at Acts chapter 5 and verses 1 to 4 we're going to look at. And we're going to look at this. It's the account of Ananias and Sapphira, and many of you would know that. So this is what verses 1 to 4 says. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said to Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourselves some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. What's happening here is that at that time in history, the church was, the people of the church were selling their possessions and giving the money to the church to help out the church and help the poor. And again, just like last week, please, I'm not going to take an offering. You're good. You can relax. But they were doing that. And Ananias and Sapphira had this piece of property. Maybe it was an extra piece of land. We don't know. But they sold the piece of land And then they brought the money to Peter at the church. And they give Peter some of the money and say, this is the money we got for the land. And they make it sound like it is all the money they got for the land. We see this couple is engulfed and filled with deception. These folks are part of the early church. They're Christians. And yet, they come and they lie about the money they received from the land. They are deceived. Listen to verse 3 again. So where does that deception come from? Listen. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and had kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land? Satan has filled Ananias' heart, and he lied. What Peter is actually asking here is, how did Satan deceive you, Ananias? How could that possibly happen? How are you deceived? The deception came from Satan and was planted in Ananias' heart. In John chapter 8, verse 44, in the last half of the verse, Jesus is speaking about Satan. And he says, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. In other words, Satan is a master deceiver. We just have to take some time and look at the account of the fall in Genesis. An interesting account of what happens. See, we read that Satan deceives Eve into thinking that God doesn't really mean what he said. God said to Eve and Adam and Eve that, you know, you can eat of any of the fruit in the garden, just don't eat of the tree that's in the center of the garden. Don't eat of that fruit. Because if you do, you'll die. Satan comes along and he says, oh, Eve, you can eat of any of the fruit. You can eat the fruit of that tree. Don't worry about it. Surely you won't die. And Eve is so deceived by Satan that she disobeys God and believes Satan. Satan has deceived her. What about us? Are we ever deceived by Satan into thinking that what God has said is not really completely true? Or at least the consequences for our actions will not be as harsh as what is written in God's word. I hate to say it, but Satan definitely deceives us from time to time. Satan gets us thinking things like, we've been offended and have the right to get even. I mean, really? That person shouldn't get away with that. Or, we can cheat on our taxes because the government really places unfair taxes anyhow. They take away too much money. So if I just cheat a little bit, I mean, I should get some of it back, and that's okay. Or we justify being angry and slandering someone because of what they've done. I mean, anybody that has done that deserves something. Or it's okay to speed. Those speed limits, I was actually told this by somebody, those speed limits, those signs out there on the highways and our streets, they're only a suggested posting of a speed. You can go whatever speed you feel like. Satan deceives us. The bank machine or the teller gives us back too much money, but it's okay to keep it because, have you seen the profits the bank make these days? See, Satan can come in and deceive us and start to make us to think that, it's okay to keep the money. It's okay to speed. It's okay to cheat. It's okay to steal. I talked to a lady who said she believed in Christ as her Savior. And she believed in Jesus that he died on the cross. And he was the way to the Father. Yet, she was deceived into believing that those who did not come to the Father through Jesus, or those in false religions, would still be okay, that God would take care of them and they would be okay. Yet she's deceived because the Word definitely says there's only one way to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus said that. That's the truth. But Satan gets in there and deceives people into believing that all roads lead. Well, you know, Buddha, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it declares this: be self-controlled and alert, for your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He's looking for someone to deceive. He's there, prowling around. Satan's looking for us. And he deceives us from time to time. So without a doubt, we can say that Satan deceives. The Word of God clearly declares that Satan is a deceiver. And so if Satan's a deceiver, then maybe we can say, the devil made me do it. If Satan deceives me, maybe I can say that. But let's continue to look at Ananias and Sapphira before we make that final judgment, okay? We know that deception comes from Satan, but listen to what Acts chapter 5, verse 4 reveals. Didn't it belong to you before you sold it? And after it was sold, was the money not at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. See, deception is from Satan, but it's ultimately against God. Ultimately, it's against God. Ananias had a piece of property which he sold, and he was not forced to sell it in any way. I mean, Satan didn't come and twist his arm or force him to sell that piece of property. Nobody did. He decided to sell that piece of property. And when he sold the property and took the money, some of the money, and gave it to Peter for the work of the kingdom, the deception which Satan had encouraged him to follow was to say that he gave all the money from the property. Why? Because that's what other people were doing? Maybe. Maybe it was because of pride. Maybe it was because, we don't know how much money he kept. Maybe he kept 90% of the money and only gave 10% to Peter. Or maybe he kept only 10%, or maybe only 2% of the money and gave all the rest to Peter. We don't know, but he gives the perception that he gave all the money to Peter. He gives a perception that he's super spiritual. I gave it all. Because Peter asks them, is this all the money? Yep, it is. Ananias tried to deceive Peter and the others in the church, because it would be just like a church meeting like this. Ananias came in and said, here's the money, in front of all the people. He tried to deceive them. And he might have been able to deceive Peter and the others, but he could not deceive God. And we can't deceive God. David writes in Psalm 139, verses 1 to 4. This is kind of a scary portion of Scripture in a sense, but it can be an exciting portion of Scripture as well. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. The Lord knows us. He knows all about us. He knows our thoughts. He knows before the word is even on our tongue. He discerns us in everything. When we are trying to deceive someone, we are saying or thinking that no one will see our sin. You won't know it's there. I can deceive you. You don't know. And the truth is, we might be able to deceive someone. But when we are saying that, when we're trying to deceive someone, we're ultimately trying to deceive God and trying to say, God, you don't see my sin. You don't see the lie. You don't see the cheat. You don't see the steal. I mean, really. I will just gossip a little or tell a small lie, for God will not really take offense to that. I mean, he's too busy with the major things of the world. I mean, somebody's got to take care of all the leaders of the world to make sure that there's not some mass third world war. He's too busy with that to worry about my little lie or my gossip. Yet think about it. If God counts the hairs on our head, if he knows the number of the hairs on our head, whether we have few or many, don't you think he knows everything about us? And he will not miss anything that happens in our lives? All sin is equal. Ananias' deception was a sin, and all sin is against God. All deception is against God. We talked about David's sin of adultery and murder a number of weeks ago, and after the dust settles, Nathan the priest confronts David about his sins that he's committed. And David ultimately knows that his sin is against humans. It's against Bathsheba. It's against Uriah. He knows that. But when he's confronted with Nathan, he goes to the Lord in prayer. And listen to what he says in prayer in Psalm 51, verse 4. He's talking to God. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. David knew that his sin was ultimately against God. In fact, he doesn't even acknowledge that he sinned against Uriah and Bathsheba. He says, against you and you only have I sinned. Paul writes very similar in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 8. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you the Holy Spirit. In other words, when we are deceived into rejecting the things of the Bible, the instructions which God has given us, we are actually rejecting God himself. Deception comes from Satan and is ultimately against God. So if that's all that deception is, it comes from Satan, it's against God, what does it really have to do with us? Well, let's look at Acts chapter 5, verse 4 one more time. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. See, the property which Ananias and Sapphira had sold was theirs. The money was theirs to do with what they wanted. When they received the money from the property, they could have done whatever they wanted. Ananias could have gone to the local camel lot and bought a decked out camel, the top of the line, you know, and with a nice leather saddle or whatever. He could have done whatever he wanted with the money. Yet Satan filled Ananias with the deception that it was okay to lie about the money. But nowhere do we ever read that Ananias is forced to lie. Nowhere do you ever read that Satan jumped out of the bush and said, "Ananias, you lie. I want you to lie about this money. You must, you need to, because if you don't, I'm going to." We don't read that. Ananias chose to allow the things of Satan to fill his heart. Ananias could have refused to allow the deception to fill his heart. And he could have told Peter, "You know, Peter, we got this much money for the property. But right now, I can't really afford to give that much money to the church. So I'm only going to give 90%. Is that okay?" I mean, he could have said that. He chose to allow the things of Satan to fill his heart. A man's heart and mind are filled when they are intent on doing something, when they are fully occupied with something, when something fully occupies our mind, when we're really intent on doing something. Ananias was intent on lying. He was filled with Satan's deception, fully occupied with the deception, the lie. He yielded to the deception. Satan is the source of deception, and that deception at the root is against God. We come into the picture by being the agent that chooses to allow the deception against God to go ahead or not. It's our choice. The foster boy, Sean, he had a choice to swear or not to swear. Satan didn't grab him by the throat and say, "Kid, you gotta swear." Ananias had the choice to lie or not to lie. Satan didn't twist his arm or hold a gun to his head. They had the choice. And our lives are no different than Ananias and or Sean's in the fact that we must choose whether we're going to allow the deceptions of Satan, which are against God, are we going to allow those deceptions to fill our hearts and our minds? or are we going to go, no? Are we going to cheat, steal, lie, gossip, be filled with lust, pride, bitterness, arrogance, or allow Satan to use any number of those things or other things to deceive us? You see, deception has been around since the beginning of time. And we read in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Satan desires to have us. He desires to fill us with his deception. But God says we must not be controlled by that deception, but we must master it. We must do what is right. What is right? James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The same thing. Do what is right. Submit yourself to God. When we submit ourselves to God, we will do what is right. When we submit ourselves to God, we fill ourselves with God. We are occupied with God and his thing. His laws, his rules, his love, his goodness. James exhorts us to first submit to God. After, we will have the power and the strength to resist Satan. As we fill ourselves with God, Satan has to flee, for there is no room in our lives for him. If our minds are filled with light, can darkness be in it? You can't get darkness in the light. Satan has to flee. There is no room in our lives for him. So can we say the devil made me do it? Absolutely not. Sorry. We can't blame the devil and say, he made me do it. He might have tried to deceive us. He might have put the temptation there. But he did not grab us and twist us and push us and force us to do it. He does not force me to push my, it's because Shane's here, force me to push my foot down on that gas pedal. He doesn't do that. He doesn't force me to keep the extra money that the teller gives me or the storekeeper gives me. He doesn't force me to slander somebody. Satan has no power over God's children. He can only try to fill our hearts and our minds with his deception. How is the devil trying to deceive us? Today and every day, we must choose whether we are going to allow those deceptions into our lives or allow the things of God into our lives. Are we going to allow God to fill our minds with his truths, our hearts with his truths? The more we fill our hearts and minds with God's truth, the less room there is for Satan's deception. May we not leave the least little bit of room for Satan's smallest deceptions even. The devil cannot make us do anything. We have victory in Jesus Christ. We need to fill our minds and our hearts with Jesus Christ.